Luke chapter 15 this morning, Luke chapter 15. We're going to look at the passion in heaven. We've been talking about passion this month, and there is a lot of things that people are passionate about out there in this world. And I know that each of you have things that you are passionate about, and we've maybe got to learn some things about you and your passions over the years. It's not wrong, if you will, to have a passion about some things, but our greatest passion should be for the Lord. There's no question about that. Many of you are passionate about things in life. Some of you are passionate about your work, about the things that you do. Maybe you trained or you went off to college to study for the profession that you are in, and you were passionate about that, something that you enjoy, you wanted to do. I remember when I was a kid, I wish I probably had a dollar for every time somebody asked me, what do you want to do when you grow up? And I still don't know what I want to do when I grow up. I'm not grown up yet, but one of these days, maybe I will be. But no, I'm glad that God's called me into the ministry and have spent a little bit of time, not a ton, but I have spent a little bit of time training for that and preparing for the ministry over the years and then ministering as well. I've been glad to be a part of that, thankful that God's called me there. But we all need to be passionate about something. And most importantly, you ought to be passionate about your salvation and about serving the Lord here today. I know this weekend there were some things that a lot of people in this country, especially this country, as well as other countries, were very passionate about. It's called the NFL Draft. There's a lot of people passionate about the NFL Draft this year and other years also. Some of you say, I have no passion for the NFL. That's good. That's okay. I'm all right. I'm all right with that. But I know there's a lot of people that are so passionate that I was heard. I was told I don't watch CNN, Communist News Network, so I don't watch CNN. But anyways, I was told this week that CNN was all over. CNN was all about the NFL draft as well. And all the other news networks, there was just NFL draft, everything. And I'm told that yesterday at the bowling alley, when the folks went bowling, my son said, I didn't realize, but until the end of the thing that we were on the TV, that it was the NFL draft. And so, well, there were not a little bit less excitement about the, you know, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, or what would it be, fourth, fifth, and sixth, and seventh rounds, I guess, not as much excitement about that, but it was still on the TV. And so everybody's watching all this about the rounds. I was listening to one of the Indians ball games this week, and the announcer from the Indians said, President Trump is actually getting some reprieve this weekend because everybody's talking about the NFL draft and not talking about President Trump. So he was probably golfing all weekend, and I probably would have been too if I was him. So can you imagine dealing with everything that he has to deal with? Not just President Trump, but any president. I mean, in all honesty, I probably would go golfing an awful lot too, to be honest with you, to try to deal with all the problems that everybody's dealing with. And of course, you know, the news media would tell us that nobody likes him. So, you know, wouldn't you want to get away a little bit if you thought nobody liked you? So anyways, but apparently he had a little reprieve. And I did see a few videos, especially for some folks that were drafted by the Steelers, being a Steelers fan. I know that one of the quarterbacks, they drafted a quarterback this year, Mason Rudolph, out of Oklahoma State. And it was a four-year player there at Oklahoma State. And I don't know what the future holds there, but I got to see his reaction to Coach Tomlin calling him. And I thought, boy, that's pretty neat. You know, I can imagine getting a phone call like that, you know, and hey, you know, you might as well just say, hey, how would you like to make a couple $1 million, you know? And sure, I'll be right there. When do you want me there, coach, you know? And how about be here tomorrow? Well, there's a lot of people passionate about things like that. They're passionate about football. They're passionate about, you know, whatever sport they may enjoy. They're passionate about cars. They're passionate about maybe their children. You know, I love these grandparents' cars, you know, and they got stickers all over, you know, and then parents, you know, they got their stickers of all their kids on the back of their car, you know, and things like things that say like my child's an honor student, and then the next one says my son beat up your honor student and all that kind of stuff. And so I have to get a little kick out of some of those, you know. And everybody's passionate about something, you know. a lot of kids would say, I don't want to be an honor student because I'll be laughed at, you know. And when we were in school, and I wasn't the nicest kid in school, imagine that, right?
Hard to believe.
There it is. He said it's hard to believe. Somebody else found it hard to believe. I wasn't the nicest kid in school, but we made fun of all the band people in school, you know. We called them band geeks, you know. And then the football players called us grass fairies because we played soccer, you know. And so we all had something that we were passionate about. And but it didn't matter. The football team could call us grass fairies all they want. They never won a game. It's like, what are you talking about? You know? So anyways, we all are passionate about things. And last week we preached about a passion in a place called hell. Today I want to preach about the passion in heaven. You realize there's passion in heaven? There's passion and zeal and joy in heaven. In fact, we're going to talk about one of the main things that we'll focus on here today is in chapter 15. We're going to read chapter 15, just a few verses, and then we will come back to it once again. But I want you to start here in verse 1, Luke chapter 15, verse 1. And we're going to see seven things that heaven is passionate about. Seven things that heaven is passionate about. By the way, I mentioned this in Sunday school. There's no way in the world we could talk about everything that heaven is passionate about. We're only going to talk about seven things that God laid on my heart this week, okay? So seven things that we're going to talk about here in verse 1, Luke chapter 15. It says, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he leaveth it on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. We all know this story. I mean, most of us probably do, I should say. Maybe not all of us. But most of you are probably fairly familiar with this story of the lost sheep. And of course, there would be rejoicing over the lost sheep. Today, if this story were written today for us, it would be there is joy in the presence of everybody in your household when the remote is found. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Where's the remote, you know? I don't know. And when you have seven kids running around the house and two adults, you never know where the remote is. Because usually the two little ones are playing with it somewhere, you know. Either that or while you're watching it, one of the little ones gets it and they're just going, meep, meep, and you're like, hey, who turned a channel? And of course, then it dawns on us instantly. It's Audie. Audie's got the remote control. Give me that back. This is the most precious thing in our home. Don't touch. We laugh about it, but sometimes it's true, isn't it? This should be the most precious thing in our home. This should be the thing that we're worried about not losing. But in reality, if that were to happen today, we would all rejoice. So you can think of something that you love or you are passionate about. If you were to lose it and then you found it, you would be very excited when you found it. I want you to notice verse 7. It says, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Verse 8 says, and here's the parable of the lost coin, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? When she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for this time. We thank you for the fact that there is passion and joy in heaven, especially over those sinners that would repent. And Father, if there'd happen to be one here today that knows not the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray today would be the day of their salvation. Father, and we know that there would be joy, not only in the presence of the angels today, but there would be joy here at Southside Baptist Church for that person who would realize their need for you today. And Father, may we truly be diligent. May we be like that shepherd with the lost sheep who would be diligently out seeking that one soul who needs to be saved. Bring them into the fold, Lord. And I pray, Lord, as we would be just like that lady with the lost coin, where she found one and she was so excited that she invited everybody over and had them rejoice with her. Father, may we rejoice over those souls that receive you. Father, I thank you for the things once again that heaven is passionate about. And I thank you for your zeal and your passion for us. And that's those souls that we will talk about right here in just a moment. Thank you for the time you've given us. Thank you for the privilege to be here. And thank you for the folks to hear the word of God today. Just give us a good, sweet time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The first thing I want you to see, this is not necessarily in the order I was going to preach it, but for sake of time, I want to give you this point. The first thing we want to see here is the passion in heaven for souls. The passion in heaven for souls or for sinners. You know what? That's what the greatest passion that God had is the fact that he would send his only begotten son for lost people, for souls, so that they could come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That is what God is passionate about. He is passionate about you, and he was passionate, and he is passionate about me, and he's passionate about the lost souls in this world that we live in. Oh, we have a lot of passions, as we've already talked about some of them. Sports and guns and activities and events, whatever it may be. I know a lot of folks, you know, they may be passionate about antiques or passionate about flea markets or passionate about something that they enjoy. Sewing, weaving, whatever it is that you may do. I don't know what you do out there. Crocheting. You're passionate about it. You're passionate about those things. But I want you to know, first of all, heaven today is very passionate about souls. Passionate about souls. In the passion that heaven has today, the Bible says there's joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth. Just one sinner. I used to sing a song. I haven't sung it in a while. Sometimes I sing it for revival, but over just one more soul. It would be worth it all for just one more soul were to walk down the aisle. Folks, just one more soul. Heaven is passionate about one more soul. I think it's so true that many of us get more passionate about the passions we have in life than over the fact that someone got saved. I've had that happen to me, and I've probably done the same thing in reciprocation. I've called people when maybe one of our children got saved, and I've said, "Hey, you know, so-and-so got saved." And usually the response I get is, "Oh, that's great. That's great." But yet if they were there when their team or LeBron James scored the winning bucket, they're jumping out of their seats, out of their chairs, they're hollering, they're screaming, they're throwing stuff. Usually if the Steelers score a touchdown, my kids think somebody's dying. I'm jumping up out of the chair and I'm thrilled and I'm excited and boy, I'm hollering and screaming. And then if they do something stupid, I'm even worse. What are you doing? You know, couldn't you see the guy that's wide open? Just so happens that I have this television screen that's spanning the whole field, you know. And the quarterback can only look one way when there's three guys ready to kill him, you know. Or 11, maybe, right? It's like, he couldn't see the guy behind him wide open. He could only see the guys coming right at him, you know. But we get passionate about those things, but heaven is passionate about souls. You know what God wants us to do is get involved in that passion for souls. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 3. You're going to have to get your Bible ready for you here just for a few moments. We're only going to be, I believe, for the most part, actually from now on, we're only going to be in the book of Matthew. So I'm just going to look at some things that heaven is passionate about in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 3. We read these verses just a few weeks ago. I want you to notice some things, special things that heaven is passionate about. Really only one of these things that we're going to talk about today that heaven is passionate about is wicked, if you will, or is bad. So everything is going to be very positive when we think about what heaven is excited or passionate about. First of all, we see sinners and souls. Second of all, and this is actually would have been in my first point, but for sake of time, we're not going to go back right now to Luke chapter 15. But I want you to read here with me in Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. It says, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh to us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him." Here's the first thing that we want to see. It's actually the second thing we're looking at this morning. But it says, "And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." Any idea what heaven's passionate about today? The Son. See, heaven's passionate about souls, we've looked at already, but heaven is passionate about the Son. Jesus Christ, the Redeemer of all mankind. God in heaven is passionate about Him, about our Savior today. We could have put in there the Savior since we're going all S's, right? You have to come up with all S's, right? We'll have plenty of them for you. And they're right straight from the Word of God. Heaven is very passionate about the Son of God. Folks, how passionate are you about Jesus this morning? How passionate are you? The Lord looks down and He says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." We looked at the scripture there after the Jesus is with the inner circle, And as they come down from the mountain, before they come down, they hear this statement, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him." God is passionate about people hearing about His Son. He is passionate about the Son, and we ought to be passionate about sharing Jesus with others. Do you know what we're more passionate about? I see this quite often, and I don't know there's anybody in our church that's involved in this, but it's okay if you are. I'm not condemning you, but I don't look on Facebook often, all right? I'll tell you what I do on Facebook. Here's what I do on Facebook. One, the website that I learn a little bit of music from, the guy that runs that website, he puts some stuff on Facebook once in a while, usually sales on instruments. And sometimes he puts on there what he has to, what lesson is next. So occasionally, I'll go on to Facebook just to check his specific page. And then the second thing I go on Facebook for, and it probably should be backwards, but honestly, it's the second thing I go on Facebook for, is when Brother Brian texts me and says, "There's something on Facebook from one of our missionaries." And so I go on Facebook to see it so that I can copy it and cut it and put it in the bulletin, and then the bulletin won't print. So I don't know what happened there, but that's what happened to me this morning. And I promise you, I'm not telling you a story. I'm telling you the truth. Alexis was there to see it. She was like, "I don't know what's going on either, Dad." And so anyways, I get on there and I look. But sometimes to get down to where I need to scroll down through there. And sometimes every once in a while, the only other time I'm usually on Facebook is when my wife brings it to me. And she says, "Honey, here's somebody, something happened." She showed me the thing with Pastor Huber that passed away this week. And so those type of things. But sometimes I'll have to scroll down through, and all of a sudden, there's something that really is a pet peeve of mine. And it's when people take selfies. I'm not a selfie guy. Okay? I really am not even sure if I know what a selfie is, but people take them all the time. Okay? They take these pictures. Worse than just a regular selfie is when it's up in your face. And I've noticed that my wife, she's got all these friends on Facebook. And all these friends, these wives, they have their faces plastered all over Facebook. And not only do they have them plastered on Facebook, they have them plastered up with makeup. Is anybody following where I'm going with this? They're promoting the makeups that they use. And they're trying to show you how to paint your face. Right on Facebook, right up in your face. And I'm like, I don't want to look at your face. Isn't there something on here about sports? Isn't there one of our missionaries close? But it's right up in your face. You say, "What are you talking about, Pastor?" They're passionate about makeup. I'm not telling you not to put on makeup. I'm telling you, we get passionate about some of the silliest things. And for me, I'm as far away from makeup as you can get. I think one time we was in a Christmas play, and I think the pastor's wife wanted to put makeup on me, and I said, forget you. Well, it works better with the light. I don't care what works better with the light. There's no amount of mud that's going to make my face look any better anyways. I promise you. Don't put it on my face. We get so obsessed with things. We get obsessed with clothes. We get obsessed with makeup. We get obsessed with shoes. We get obsessed with sporting events. We get obsessed with all these things. And that's what's on Facebook. I know a guy who is a pastor's wife who's on Facebook. And just from looking down through there, she's one of the ones that's always on there. Now, he's posting spiritual things. She's posting stuff about makeup. And I'm sure he probably doesn't make a whole lot of money, so she's probably trying to help him make some money, right? But all she puts on there is face painting stuff. And I'm saying, where's the spiritual connotation to why you paint your face? You say, does there have to be a spiritual connotation? No, I'm not saying that, but it's just, you're obsessed with that. And this person's obsessed with that. And this and that and whatever it might be. But yet, we're not concerned about souls. We're not concerned about the Son. We're not concerned about Jesus. Well, Pastor, everything can't be about Jesus. I'm pretty sure that when we get saved, that's really what our life is supposed to be all about. In fact, we read this morning in Sunday school that Paul said this, for to me to live is Christ. If I'm going to live, it's about Christ. And to die is gain. My wife, she does all the, like I said, all the Facebook stuff. And I believe if the last time I saw, correct, I don't know when the last time I saw, but we have a little thing on our Facebook thing that says, He is risen. That's our picture. It's not of me. It's not of my, I'm not telling you that my wife or my family might not ever be on there, but it's of Jesus. He is risen. Say, well, that was back at Easter. He's still risen today, whether it's Easter or not Easter. He's alive and He is risen. Today we want to give the Son the glory. The heaven is passionate about the Son. I want you to notice here in Matthew chapter 5, just turn over to Matthew chapter 5, something else that heaven is passionate about today that we ought to be also passionate about. Matthew 5, let's look at verses 17 through 19. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Our theme for this, or our text for this point today, is found in verse 18. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. We're going with S's here this morning. Anybody have any idea what that S is all about? What heaven is passionate about? You're looking at it, the scriptures. Heaven is passionate. Not one jot, not one tittle is going to pass away until all shall be fulfilled. Turn to chapter 24. Turn to chapter 24 and we'll see what chapter 24 says. Look at verse 32, Matthew 24, 32. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is near. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Doors, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Some of you, I know back in, I believe it was 2006, if Brian was here, Brian Nash was here, he could probably tell me. I believe it was 2006 when the Steelers won their last Super Bowl. And I think I think they might have won in 2008 too. But anyways, they just win, right? I believe it was 2006. I have a Sports Illustrated magazine with Heinz Ward on the front of that. And most Sports Illustrated magazines I have are not worth keeping, so I usually chuck them, right? I read some of it, and then I'll chuck them. But that one I kept because they won the Super Bowl. It was important to me. It was exciting for me. That's the one I believe where Randall L., the backup, where he was actually a receiver at that time, but threw a touchdown pass to Heinz Ward. I think Heinz Ward ended up with the MVP for that Super Bowl, and they won. Most people believe they cheated to win. I think it was Seattle that they beat that time. And everybody says, Seattle should have won. Well, they didn't, all right? So I kept that, and I still have it to this day. And most other magazines I get rid of them. You know why? Because they take up space. Space that I don't have. But I kept that one. I don't know what you have that you keep. But I promise you there's one thing very important, more important than any other book, that heaven is settled forever. This book. The scriptures is something that heaven is passionate about. And that people that are supposed to be Christians should be passionate about. I wonder about Christians who do not want to read their Bibles. I wonder about Christians who do not want to go to church. I wonder about Christians who do not want to hear from this book. I don't want to hear it. I've heard it so many times. I've heard pastor after preacher, after evangelist, after missionary preach the same thing. I'm tired of hearing it. I worry about Christians who are not passionate about the scriptures. Because I'm going to tell you, if you want to know what heaven's passionate about, it isn't the Cavs game 7 today. It's the scriptures. Passionate. About souls, passionate about the Son, passionate about the Scriptures. I want you to notice what else heaven is passionate about. Matthew chapter 5, back to Matthew chapter 5 there. I want to look at verses 10 through 12. Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12. I hope you're there. I need to go ahead because I've got several more points I want to share with you. It says verse here in verse 10, Matthew 5, 10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your, what's that word? Reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. You know who gets persecuted in this world? People who serve God. You know what heaven is passionate about today? Service. Heaven is passionate about your service and my service. So passionate, God is so passionate about our service that there is rewards waiting for us in heaven. Do you know that I played basketball for a little while. I played soccer for a little while. And in those times, I scored a few goals playing for our high school soccer team. But you know what? I'm never going to get any rewards for scoring a few goals for our high school soccer team. I'm never going to get any rewards apart from maybe a varsity letter, right? No rewards in heaven for getting that varsity letter for playing those minutes. So when I get to heaven, God's not going to say, hey, great job, you know, playing your senior year for your high school team. I'm not going to hear anything about that. If I hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, it's going to be, well done, pastor in Southside Baptist Church, for working with this family and that family and encouraging them and trying to help them and trying to lead them to the Lord and leading them to the Lord and baptizing these people. And those. I don't know what exactly how that's going to work out, but if there's going to be a reward, it's going to be for service, a service reward. Brother Don Fuller just graduated, right? He graduated into retirement. He retired. And I'm not here to toot anybody's horn, but 62 years in one place, is almost unheard of. In fact, so unheard of that a large corporation that he worked for, they're amazed. They're still dumbfounded that he was there in one place for 62 years. He got different rewards. They had a retirement party for him. Without going into a lot of detail, he'd be embarrassed if I was telling you this anyway. So, anyway, but for 62 years, there were rewards. Most of us, we're lucky if we last 6 years at a place and we never see any rewards, right? Maybe 6 months, no rewards. 62 years, there were some rewards. But I want you to notice, and I want you to realize that the rewards in heaven, notice it says, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. I guarantee you, Brother Don would say the same thing if he was up here preaching this morning or teaching or sharing or giving a testimony. He'd say, I'd wipe away that whole 62 years just to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, in heaven. And maybe he'll hear that because he was faithful to one place and was a good example and a godly testimony in one place for 62 years. God will say, great job, good job. Here's your reward. Great is your reward in heaven. Service is so important to heaven that heaven rewards for service. You know, it doesn't say anything about heaven rewarding for having the best makeup every Sunday, or having wearing the best outfit, or rooting for the team that has the most Super Bowls, which is still the Steelers, by the way. Doesn't say anything about those things. It says, great is your reward in heaven for service. Heaven is passionate about service. I want you to notice something that heaven is passionate against. Let's look at chapter 5 here, verses 27 through 30. Heaven is passionate against this one thing. Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 through 30. The Bible says this, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out, and it can cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body shall be cast into hell. Heaven is passionate against sin, folks. Heaven will never look up there and say, it's cute. Heaven will never look down and say, good for them. They come out of the closet. Good for them. So cute. Oh, look, he's drunk. It's cute. Look at him walking and stumbling around. It's so cute. It's not cute, folks. It's called sin. And heaven is passionate against it. So passionate that God says in his word that you'd be better off plucking out your own eye. I can't even imagine. I've heard some people that have detached retinas, and that can be very painful, I guess. I've heard of some people, I guess I do know now that a lot of these eye surgeries they do, they actually pop your eye out and do the surgery and then put it right back in, and I'm like, I don't want any part of that. Sin is so horrible that you'd be better off to chop off your own arm. Your own hand. And we as Christians say it's cute. It's cute for little 13-year-olds and 14-year-olds to hold hands. It's so cute. It's not cute, folks. It's wrong. Oh, they could spend the night with their boyfriend or their girlfriend. No. It's sin. It is good for a man not to touch a woman. Until he's married. Then he can do whatever he wants, right? Amen. If he's married to the one he's married to. That's the pleasure of marriage, That's the joy of being married. The closeness, the bond that you can have. But outside of marriage, it's sin. The Bible says, and God just said, it is sin to even look after a woman, to lust after her if you're not married to her. It's sin. Oh, it's okay. Clicking on that little website, it's sin, folks. And heaven is passionate against it, against sin, completely. There's no, well, it's okay today and not okay tomorrow. No, it's sin. And I fear we are living in a world today where the world and the government and the media is trying to convince Christians that lifestyles, sinful lifestyles, are okay. It's their choice. It's what they want to do. If it makes them happy, it's okay. If it feels good, do it. You know how wrong that is? Heaven is passionate against sin. I don't think I need to say a whole lot about that because I think you know that today. But we need to live it and realize that we ought to be passionate against it too. It's about time we as Christians stand up against some of these things that are out there. I want you to notice the sixth thing that heaven is passionate about, and that is supplication. Supplication. Heaven is passionate about prayer. So passionate that God teaches us to go to Him in prayer. I've only got one more point after this, so I'm going to read these scriptures to you. I think you know that heaven is passionate about supplication or about prayer. Verse 8 of Matthew chapter 6 says, "Be not ye therefore like unto them, for the Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him." Heaven is so passionate about it that God gives us a model prayer, a type of prayer. This isn't the prayer that we have to pray, but it's a type of how we ought to pray. "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father," after this manner, do it like this, "supplicate, come to the Lord," He wants to hear from you, "our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you, but if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Heaven today is passionate about supplication or prayer. God wants you to seek Him in prayer. God wants you to come to Him in prayer. Just like you seek to talk to your best friend. When I was a kid, I know we used to always tease my mom. We never got a whole lot of phone calls. My mom is not a socialite, and that's probably why I'm a lot the way I am sometimes. I'm not the kind of person that is just wants to always constantly be around people and on top of people and want to have parties and want to go places. I'm not that way. In fact, I have a niece who she's okay if she goes to school, but apparently recently she went to a restaurant and there were too many people in that restaurant and she couldn't even eat. She was so freaked out by it. I'm like, I'm kind of that way. I'm not a big crowd kind of guy. I don't like to, you know, always. That type of thing. I could not live in a building with tons and tons of people. You know, I'd have trouble with that. That's just me. Okay. You may say that'd be awesome if we had friends around us all the time. I'm saying it's nice to have my peace and quiet. Right. That's why Jesus went up into a mountain apart to pray. It's nice sometimes just to have some peace and quiet. But you know, God wants us. We used to tease my mom, every time the phone would ring, she didn't get a lot of phone calls, but when the phone would ring, we'd say, "It's Annie Dark Green." That's what we called her. Her name was Darlene, but my aunt's name is Darlene, but one of the kids growing up called her Dark Green. So I couldn't say the name right, so we'd say, "Mom, it's Annie Dark Green," and we never knew who was on the phone. It's not, a lot of times it happened to not be her. But boy, she'd get on the phone with my Aunt Darlene, and boy, they would talk about this, and they would talk about that, and they were just talking back and forth and having a good old time, then they'd be done, you know. But sometimes it was a half hour later, sometimes it was 45 minutes later, and sometimes it was an hour later, and you know what I'm talking about. And mom, sometimes she would go, "That might be my sister. You better get that, answer the phone, it might be my sister." I'm like, who cares? It's like, kind of wish I was back in the old days where nobody could get a hold of you. You know, it was amazing back in the old days. You know, they'd send a letter and say, hey, grandpa's doing great and everything's fine. And they'd get the letter 6 months later and they'd say, hey, look, grandpa's doing great and fine, just to find out he died 2 days ago, you know. Like, I kind of like that, to be honest with you. I don't know. Not that he died. I don't want grandpa to die. I just kind of like the fact sometimes people can't get a hold of you, okay? And that's the way they get a hold of you, by snail mail. I'm still a snail mail fan, so. But anyways, on some things. Then there's other things. It's like, I want it now, you know? Give it to me now. And so if I had to wait for 6 months to find out who won the Cavs game today, I'd probably be a little upset. But anyways, it's okay. I'm not going to probably watch it anyways. But so there are some inconsistencies there. You just figured that out about me. But anyways, she'd get excited about talking to her sister. She'd be excited that her sister was calling. And I'm sure her sister was the same way. Sir, my aunt was the same way. I want you to know that heaven is passionate and excited when you come to the Lord. And the fact that we can go to Him, that ought to excite us and thrill our souls. I get to go to God right now. This is way better than Annie Dark Green. This is God. This is way better than your favorite film. This is God. I get to go to my Savior. I get to go to the Lord. Heaven is passionate. So passionate that God would teach us how to come to Him in supplication. I want you to notice the last one. I said there's only one that was really negative. This one actually is negative too. And I want you to think about this in chapter 7. Chapter 7, and we'll close with this. Folks, this is what I talked about and preached about last week. Verse 21, Matthew 7. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. You know what the will of the Father, which is in heaven, is? He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The will of the Father is for everyone to be saved. However, you make that decision. We're not Calvinists by any means here at this church. And if you are, I will pray for you. He's not willing that any should perish. He didn't just elect a few people to be saved. Had he just elected a few people to be saved, Jesus wouldn't have had to die. But Jesus gave his life. In fact, if he had only elected a few people to be saved, the Bible wouldn't need to say, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about, and that's okay. But don't be fooled. Don't be fooled by their beliefs. Jesus wouldn't have had to die if he already elected people to be saved. But it says here, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter in. But the ones that do the will of my Father. He that believeth on the Son hath life. Verse 22 says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Folks, we have seen person after person who have done things in the name of the Lord. Religions, cults, who do things in the name of the Lord, and the Lord says, in verse 23, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. The seventh thing that heaven is passionate about here today is separation. How many of you remember last week when we looked into the Word of God? And between you and I, there is a great gulf fixed between us. Heaven is passionate about separation. Well, that's, we want to be all inclusive. I'm sorry, folks. It doesn't work that way. Things that are different are not the same. Well, we don't want them to die and go to hell. Well, then tell them about Jesus. Because heaven is passionate about separation. And by the way, separation not only in heaven, but also on this earth. We are to be separated from this world. However we live in this world, we are not to act like this world, live like this world. And I've seen far too many Christians who dress up their children just like the world dresses. Can I tell you this? One of the biggest excuses I've ever heard for ladies to not wear skirts is because you can't find them in stores. I will say amen to that. They are very difficult to find in stores. But do you know something? They can be found. Number two, and I'm not just talking about dresses. This is just a thought process about us being separated. There are other ways to get dresses than find them in a store. They don't make any tops that aren't low cut, that aren't V-cut. Do you know there's material stores all over this place, all over this town that you could go to? In fact, Walmart sells enough material you could cover up that V that's showing things that shouldn't be seen. Pastor, I don't even know what you're talking about right now. I hope you don't. But it's time that Christians start separating and stop dressing and looking like the world. You can talk the talk. You can even so-called walk the walk. But if you dress like the world, there's a problem. We are peculiar people. We are to be different. I don't want to be different. I want to look like the world. We're not of this world. Why would we want to be like it? You know why we want to be like it? Because we have a passion for worldly things. It's called the flesh. And God says, separate. Because in the end, I will separate the sheep on my right hand, the goats on the left. For eternity, there will be separation. And God's not going to come around and say, well, I kind of liked you in this life. You did okay. Come on over with me. No. The dividing line, folks, is Jesus Christ. What have you done with his son? If you've trusted him, you go with Jesus. You go with God. If you've rejected him, you will be separated into everlasting damnation in hell. God's passionate about it, folks. That's why we need to be telling others about Jesus. That's why we need to not only talk the talk and walk the walk, but dress the dress, live the way we ought to live, so that the world can see that there is a forever separation from God if they don't receive him. Can I encourage you today? Heaven is passionate about some things. Passionate about the Son. Passionate about the Scriptures. Passionate about sinners. Passionate about service. Passionate against sin. Passionate about supplication. Passionate that there is a separation. Where's your passion today? If our passion is only for the Cleveland Cavaliers, that's shallow. more than likely, well, possibility, the Cavaliers won't even have their best player next year. If you're trusting in that, you're in trouble. Because they'll go from middle of the league to last. And you will be depressed. And you will be discouraged if that's what you're trusting in. If you're trusting in your favorite sports team, one, two injuries can ruin your entire season. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ. Jesus' blood and righteousness. Hey, folks, where is your passion? What do you build on? Where is your foundation? If it's on anything but Jesus, you're on shaky ground.